Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Colby Markio of Your Betting News will join us, and we will go over the Super Bowl, get into his favorite props, get into the game, what he thinks, side, total, all of his thoughts on the game. Do a little college basketball, see if he's betting. I know he's a big baseball bettor, so getting to the point, couple weeks away from spring training, which I know is kind of an arbitrary, not a fake day, but you know they don't play games here for a while. The season doesn't start until the end of March, but you get spring training games soon enough, and it is nice, especially with how cold it is here, just to see baseball at least coming close. We turn the calendar to February, and boy, it felt like January was here forever. It felt like a long January. Part of it's the weather, part of it's football winding down. This was the first weekend without football, really, since, what, July? I mean, even you start to get weaned off of it a little bit. You have some of these weeks where it's winding down, and all of a sudden you don't have games on Saturday, and all of a sudden you don't have games Sunday at 1 o'clock for a couple weeks. But this was the first weekend where it's just completely cold turkey. You got nothing, no football whatsoever. But a week from now, we will have crowned a champion. I actually added a couple of bets. I like Kenneth Walker under rushing yards. It's become kind of a popular one, and you hear so many bets this time of the year, listening to different shows, and you know, some of it, not that you're going to just tail everything you hear, but I heard it, didn't really hear the explanation for it as much, and then I kind of looked into it myself, and you can poke holes in this Patriots path to the Super Bowl. The schedule, May hasn't played great. They play teams that were banged up. You can't really poke holes, though, in one thing, and that is the run defense for the Patriots has been outstanding. As the line now, Patriots Seahawks minus 5, total 45.5, so a little tick back up here to New England. But you look at the Patriots' run defense. Last week, Harvey in the championship game, the Broncos running back, under 3 yards per carry, shut down the Broncos running game. The week before, the Texans, 44 yards rushing as a team. And then the wild card round, Vidal, under 3 yards per carry. Herbert did have some rushing yards, but yeah, quarterback rushing yards are different. There's some randomness to it. It's not the same as shutting down a running back. So to me, Walker, 72.5, 73.5 in that range, under rushing yards, I think is a pretty good play here for to fade this Seattle running back. Plus with unders, game script gets away from you, and I don't think it's going to happen, but Seattle gets blown out, you're probably not going to be running the ball. If Walker gets hurt, that wins your bet on the under. There's always a lot more ways to win an under than win it over. So Walker under is one I like. Matt Eumanns, I was doing the show with him Friday night, VSiN Primetime Friday night, and he brought this up. This is an interesting bet. I believe it was the Westgate that had it, and it's almost like a full-time job sorting through all these bets and props and different offerings at the different books. But I thought this was a fun one and a unique one. And there's really no way to handicap this. It's just, and it's going to be a weird one to sweat if you do bet it. Will the final score of the Super Bowl match any previous score from any previous Super Bowl? Yes is plus 400. Again, I believe that was at the Westgate, for those of you that have access to that. And it might have been at the Circa as well. And once one book posted, a lot of books will copy. But that is a clever one. That's a fun one. And plus 400 is interesting just because you get access. You win on 59 different scores. There have been 59 Super Bowls. I was looking through the final scores. There's actually a lot more random scores than you would think. 43-8 with Seattle and Denver. Just some weird scores. Not as many common scores when you look through that. So maybe it's properly priced. I believe the only repeat score we've had in the Super Bowl, there was two 27-17 games, which is funny because I was thinking about what the final score would be. That was like the first score last week that popped in my head. 27-17 Seattle. But that was the only repeat final score as I scanned through these. So you really have 58 different options to win on, and that pays plus 400. So that's a fun one. I don't mind that one. You're not really betting. I don't know what you're really rooting for throughout the game. I guess you just kind of bet that, you forget it, and then once the game gets to like the third or fourth quarter, late third, fourth quarter, you can start to look at like the different possibilities where you win on. So that's a weird one to sweat. You want to bet for value, obviously. That is the first and foremost thing, but you do want to at least like know what you have money on and have some way to root it. If people are betting just to have a rooting interest, that is a unique one to say the least. So I mentioned last week, Darnold MVP, I think is the best bet of all the stuff. I think if he won, it would be hard for them to not give it to him, barring something unforeseen. You just go back and look. The Super Bowl, which is now, 9 years ago, geez, Patriots and Falcons, James White, the Patriots running back, had 3 touchdowns, had 14 receptions, had a bunch of rushing yards. And Brady threw a pick six in the game, and they still gave it to Brady. So it is very slanted towards the quarterback. And granted, Edelman won it as a receiver. Cooper Kupp won it as a receiver. So it's possible. But I just think it's obviously a major advantage for the quarterback, and the fact that Darnold has the narrative here. And this is not a new thing. You know, 3 in a row have gone to the quarterback, 7 of the last 9, 12 of the last 16, even back to Super Bowl III, Joe Namath did not throw a pass in the fourth quarter, did not throw a touchdown in the entire game, and he won Super Bowl MVP. So this is not a recent phenomenon here that it goes to the quarterback. As far as college basketball, I think this Saturday, this weekend in general, that was a good win by Illinois on Sunday against Nebraska. Illinois is a good team. I think that's interesting. How many teams can win the championship? I think there's a good, 8-10 teams. Arizona can certainly win 8. Michigan, Duke, Houston. I would throw UConn in there. I would throw Illinois in there. I would still throw Florida in there. So that's 7 or 8 teams right there. Not sure about Gonzaga. Not sure about Iowa State. But I think Saturday and this weekend in general is a good reflection of the sport and what I was talking about a little bit on Friday's show. I don't know that we're getting Cinderella. I don't know that we're getting many upsets, because you just look at the top 10. And all right, Texas Tech got picked off on Saturday. 5-point favorite, they lost. Other than that, Arizona wins, Duke wins, Michigan won Friday, and that was a good game, back and forth game against Michigan State. Houston wins. I mentioned UConn. It's not one of those years. Sometimes you get these years where it feels like every week, every day you wake up and there's a top 10, top 5 upset, and it's very fluid within the top 5. This top 5, top 10 is pretty rock solid. Michigan, 1 loss. Arizona still undefeated. UConn only 1 loss. A lot of these teams are not infallible, but pretty rock solid, where I think you might get to the Sweet 16 that second weekend in March and have a lot of the upper echelon teams still alive. Remember last year, pretty much all the 1s and 2s got to the second weekend except for St. John's, and there were not even a lot of 3s and 4s got picked off. It was pretty chalky. I think we could be looking at another year like that. I hope that's not what the tournament becomes, but it is certainly possible, because I think there is a big gap between the top 8, 10, 12 teams, which let's just call it the top 12. That's the first 3 seeds, all the 1, 2, and 3 seeds, maybe even all the 1, 2, 3, and 4 seeds. And everybody else, I don't know that those teams are getting knocked off in round 1 or even in round 2. And it'll be interesting. As for now, it's a 1-year fluke. 2 years ago, there were a couple upsets, but not many. I wonder if this becomes the norm. Does the tournament lose a little bit of its luster if this is 3, 4, 5 years in a row of this stuff, where you just don't get many upsets or no upsets in the first round? Now, when you do get them, they'll be more fun. They'll be more special. That is for sure. But it is becoming a sport of the have and the have-nots with the money, the resources, and becoming, it's basically minor league sports now. It's the same thing with college football. It's the same with college basketball. It's minor league basketball. This is a professional sport, just on a lesser level. To odds to win the title here, Arizona's plus 425, Michigan plus 550, Duke is 6-1, Houston 9-1, UConn 12-1, Illinois 14-1, Florida 16-1, Iowa State 18-1. Gonzaga and Purdue were 20-1. Nebraska 22-1. Nebraska has now lost 2 in a row. Kansas 28-1. Kansas, interesting, because they got the kid Peterson, who's going to be the number 1 pick in the draft, most likely. And he was awesome on Saturday against BYU, but he's ready for the NBA in more ways than one, because he's got the game and the scoring ability for the NBA. But you can never figure out when he's playing. He started in Saturday's game, played most of the game, and then he sat out the rest of the game, sat out the next 17 minutes. And Kansas is actually in action here Monday night against Texas Tech. Texas Tech off of a bad loss, an upset loss against UCF. Kansas off of a big win against BYU. I like Texas Tech here. I'm surprised this is only 3.5. I would lay it with Texas Tech. I expect Texas Tech, even if Peterson plays, I think it's a good spot for Texas Tech to win the game by 8-10 points, something like that. I like the home team here to bounce back. As far as the futures, if I had to bet anything, Arizona's probably not enough bang for your buck. Although, you look back in past years, when UConn was clearly better than everybody else, especially 2 years ago, the year before they were 4 seed, a little bit out of nowhere, where I remember doing the show right around this time 2 years ago, and I was like, UConn 6-1, is that enough? When you get the team that's much better than everybody else, 4-1, 5-1, 6-1, in that range is, you're happy you have that ticket. It's not fun. It's not exciting. It's almost like the Chiefs in past years where you just bet it, even though it's not, you know, you're not going to get rich off of a 4-1. You expect a little bit more. You hope for a little bit more with everything that has to go right, and you have to win six games in the tournament. You're not going to get upset in the first round, so you pretty much have to win five. But plus 425 on Arizona is not bad. UConn at 12-1. That was a good performance the other night. You can never count Hurley out. Florida at 16-1 is interesting. Florida, I don't know if they can repeat, but they can rebound. They've got a lot of skill. I don't love the guards as much as last year. But if I had to bet any of these, I'd probably take UConn at 12-1. I don't think UConn at 12-1 is bad. They're going to be a one seed. Hurley's a tough out. I thought his team was dead last year, and they almost beat Florida. Probably should have beaten Florida. Had chances in that game, and Florida ended up winning. I know a lot of teams had a chance to beat Florida, and that was kind of the story of their tournament. But UConn at 12-1 for a team that's 20-1. They have Hurley. They've got some NBA guys. A little bit of a semi-long shot there with UConn at 12-1. You get them in the Final Four or so, and they're going to be a one seed. So it's not like you're going to have to run into Arizona in the Elite Eight or Michigan in the Elite Eight. You probably have a reasonable path here to get to a Final Four. And once you get there, you can kind of figure out what to do with it. And maybe you get lucky and maybe you get some upsets around you and Arizona doesn't make it or Michigan doesn't make it. And you can be in a position where maybe you got a favorable matchup and you're actually laying points in one of, if not both, those last two games. That's asking a lot, but UConn at 12-1 is not bad in terms of the value. We'll keep an eye on Giannis and where he goes, if he goes. Talked about that on Friday. It's interesting. The Bulls went from 40-1 Sunday morning to 4-1. Sunday afternoon. I don't see the Bulls. I mean, the Bulls aren't a title team with Giannis, without Giannis. Is he going to be happy there? It's a good city. It'd be fun if the Bulls are good again. It's hard to think, people of a certain age, to think that the Bulls have been so irrelevant, haven't been to a final since Jordan left. I mean, at some point, the Bulls are going to be back, and the Bulls are going to be back to being a finals team. They had a couple flashes with Rose, but it is hard to think that the Bulls, after all of this time, is just still so irrelevant. But that is a great basketball city. And obviously the history with Jordan and everything and all those great teams, that they've been this dormant for this long. But I don't see Giannis as a fit. But I mentioned Friday, there is no great fit. These Knicks packages don't make a lot of sense. The Warriors packages, I mean, we're going to trade them for Kuminga, Butler, and some picks. Okay, I mean, that's an offer. That's something. It's better than nothing. But is that really something you're dying to do if you're Milwaukee? I think they might just wait till the summer, and I mentioned this the other day. It might be a wild card. It might be a Toronto or somebody out of nowhere. I guess the Bulls would qualify as a flyer, and they just say, you know what, I know we don't have a title team, but we've been boring and bad for so long. Let's get Giannis, and that's a start. Maybe we can use him to get another superstar, and we're off and running. That's possible too. So we'll see. I'd say it's 50-50. He gets traded this week or the summer, maybe even 60-40, he gets traded in the summer. Because if you're the Bucks, maybe you want to just know, with this great draft class, you want to know who has the high picks, who has the lottery picks, and go from there. And again, these teams have gotten burned with these godfather offers. Gobert, they give up a million picks, didn't work out. The Timberwolves gave up a million picks. They've been in the conference finals with them, so it's not like it's been a disaster, but they overpaid. Desmond Bain was a huge trade with a ton of picks, didn't work out, hasn't worked out at least so far. Mikal Bridges, 5 first-rounders. How's that going for the Knicks? Complete overpay. The Paul George trade is one of the worst trades in history when you look at talent in and talent out. So I don't know that. And Giannis is better than all these guys, and it's just going to be tough if you're in Milwaukee to say, wow, Gobert went for this, Paul George went for this, Bane went for this, Bridges went for this, and Giannis is much better than all these guys, and I'm going to get less for him. But that is probably the reality here. When he is indeed traded, I don't think he's going to play for Milwaukee ever again, whether he gets traded now or he gets traded in the summer. That makes no sense to bring him back and play him and put him in a Bucks uniform, because even if he's not traded, even if he's healthy, you want to tank. You want to be able to keep your pick intact as much as possible, because they have a swap scenario with the Hornets, and then figure out in the summer. So I would say it's a large underdog for him to play another game for Milwaukee ever again. Now, he might be on Milwaukee a week from now when the deadline ends, and that matters for some of these betting markets. But as far as him playing his next game, I'd be surprised if he plays another game for Milwaukee. But we will find out. We will talk next to Colby Marchio. We'll talk some Super Bowl. Let's talk some college basketball, maybe even a little baseball. I think he's got a long, long shot for a player he likes. We'll find out who that is. That is next. This Should Have Been More podcast. All right, we are back. Should have bet more podcast. You can catch him at Your Betting News. He joins us now. It is Colby Marchio. Colby, what's up, man? A week from now, we will have a champion in the NFL. Thanks for coming on. How are you?
Great. I'm more of a baseball diehard, so I'm kind of looking forward to it being officially baseball season. But it is sad how fast the football season has been.
Me too. I love baseball. I love just every day. So much to bet on. So much to watch. Just everything that comes with it and the warmer weather. I think you are somewhere where it's freezing cold. It's just every day it's colder. So warmer days, better days, brighter days ahead. But before we get, we'll do some college basketball, but let's start with NFL. We'll start with the Super Bowl. Before we get to some props you like, who do you think wins the game?
So maybe it's my Boston hatred bias because I've always hated Boston. I mean, I feel like everyone outside of Boston hates anything Boston related. Even though the city's marvelous, I hated how much I loved it when I visited 2 years ago. But I am such a strength and schedule diehard, it's really hard for me to go anywhere outside of rooting for or at least the debating on taking the Seahawks. I don't know if I'll take the spread. I'll just probably find other props. But I think this is the most complete team the Patriots have seen all season, and I think that's going to come into play, and it's going to be really dangerous for them. Because, I mean, people keep talking about how the Patriots, well, look at them against the last two teams they faced, top defenses in the NFL. If you really want to sit there and tell me that Patriots offense is the reason why they won those last two games, you're not watching. And that's really the main reason. I think they have gotten the easiest schedule of all time, and I know that's low-hanging fruit because everyone's talking about it, but it means something. That's why people are talking about it, because it means something, and it means you haven't been truly tested, hence why we're talking about it. It drives me nuts.
Yeah, and it's funny. I never, like, the Brady Belichick, I appreciate the greatness. I'm unlike most people, where Mahomes, you know what, it doesn't bother me that he wins all the time. I appreciate the greatness of it, and Brady and Belichick never bothered me. I actually kind of like both of them. This team, and my brother-in-law's a Patriots fan, this team trying to tell you that the schedule hasn't been easy or that May has played well, it's a little much, and there is some jealousy. Like, man, you guys are good again. You guys are back in the Super Bowl again, and it's funny. It feels like Belichick has been gone for, like, 4 or 5 years, but he's only been gone a year. It's hard to believe because everything that happened with UNC and the girlfriend, now the Hall of Fame, feels like he's been gone longer than he has, but it's amazing they're back in this.
Yeah, we couldn't even get a breather as non-Patriot fans or any Boston-related thing. I mean, they won the NBA Finals a couple years ago, too.
Yep,
they absolutely get everything they want.
Props. No doubt about it. Props. There's so much out there. How do you sift through it all? Do you just carve out an hour or two where you look at every single thing? Do you just know the couple markets you usually look for? What's kind of a tutorial here on where to start with these props, how to bet it, and what you actually do like?
I, as someone that's betting on college basketball every single day, I don't crave to dig and search for something. I let it usually come to me. I'm not the type of person that's going to have 85 Super Bowl bets because, hey, it's the last game of the season, might as well stack up and have fun, which I understand when people do that, if that's the one thing they're looking forward to, but I have other things going on during the week, so I'm like, I'll just find a few that I like here and there. My favorite one, I took it in the national championship and it cashed. Luckily, maybe that's why I'm so adamant about this one, but the second half to be the highest scoring half, going back to the strength and schedule. I think the Patriots fall out the gate. I think they struggle a bit. I think the second half the offense opens up. So, and I think that for both sides. I think defenses do come to play similar to the national championship, and we see a higher scoring half in the second half. It's minus 110. It was plus money in the Natty. I paid it. I bet it the other day. I don't think minus 110 is a terrible price. And like I said, both teams have great defenses. I think the second half is where the adjustments come in and we see a higher scoring number. And I was asked the other day how I felt about first half under. I think this prop's a little bit better because you get more of a kind of a cushion. You don't have to worry about a certain number in the first half. You just have to worry about beating it in the second, if that makes any sense.
How about player props? Anything catch your eye?
So our intern at Betting News kind of talked about this on Friday, and I was like, God, I really like this prop. He threw out Sam Darnold over 2.5 rush attempts at plus 105. Now, loading up, I want plus money on the rest of the bets outside of, obviously, the second half to be the highest scoring, because I want some value in some of these props. I know everyone's going to be betting overs galore. I might be looking for some unders coming soon as the days go by because I'm an unders fanatic. He's gone over this number in his last five games of the regular season. Had three against the Rams, none against the 49ers. I mean, why would he run against the 49ers? They're up 40 points. The Patriots are allowing their opposing quarterbacks to average three rush attempts per game. They are middle of the pack in sack percentage, so hopefully they ramp it up and get it, try to get after Sammy D and pressure him.
What MVP, any sleepers? Is it as straightforward as the quarterbacks? I know people have talked Rashid Shaheed, which... You know what, 50-1, good kick returner, maybe he catches one and you're in the mix. I think if the Seahawks win, it's going to be hard not to give it to Darnold, but that's not a lot of fun. Do you have a fun long shot, or you think it's as simple as Darnold in May?
I had a couple dollars left over on a book, and I was like, I'll find somebody. And I threw it on Kenneth Walker. I think if you like the Seahawks to win on Sunday, that you're taking MVPs over maybe the spread, maybe a little safer route, get a little bit better value. I don't think taking JSN, I mean, I know it was like 15-1 prior to their last game, or Kenneth Walker, Sam Darnold. I think if you're taking Sam Darnold, you're not taking anything else Seahawks wise. Patriots, I mean, I feel like it's a layup to say if you like the Patriots to win, you're betting Drake May, but also wouldn't you rather put more money on them to win outright if they're already underdogs? I think you're just
right.
Better to throw a dart at a player and say they don't do a great job, but they still come out on top. They're not winning MVP if they don't win. So I think taking their money line might be the safer route if you like the Patriots.
Super Bowl menu, snacks. What's your go-to?
I knew you would ask this. What are you gonna be eating? I'm a diehard Hawaiian sliders guy. That's usually the go-to. My girlfriend always asks me to make that, but I hate making it.
What are those?
So you get the Hawaiian rolls, and You put ham and Swiss cheese, and then you melt butter, minced dried onions, mustard, poppy seeds, and then you mix it, and then you brush it across the top and throw it in the oven for about 20 minutes and let it all marinate and get in there and melt. It's cracking bread, dude. If you get the 24 roll pack, I usually eat about 8 to 10 because I just can't stop. And then I will have to roll myself to the couch. But my girlfriend said her dad is making pulled pork. So that's got me fired up. He makes a really good pulled pork and wings. I mean, it's the Super Bowl. We're going to consume 80 million pounds of wings.
What's you're in Chicago, right? Is the wing scene in Chicago? Is that I know the pizza's famous there, but what's like the wing pizza scene there?
Thin crust, deep dish is for the tourists, by the way. The wings is phenomenal. Okay. There are a few wing places that people rave about. Bird's Nest is the number one that people rave about, and I think it's highly overrated. My favorite is Output. There's one in Wrigley, and there's another one in over by the United Center, kind of. Their lemon pepper wings are unreal, and I've never ate there. I've always got them delivered, and sometimes you get wings delivered, it's not great. They're perfect every single time. Output Wings, no free ads, but they deserve it.
Okay. College basketball, we'll switch gears here. Before we get to some specific games, just big picture thoughts. I think you look at Saturday, and I hate to say this because I love March Madness, and I love upsets and Cinderellas, everybody does. You look at it's Saturday. All right, Texas Tech got upset, but most of these big time top 10 teams don't really lose. A lot of zero loss teams, one loss teams. I think it'll be another chalk heavy tournament. You want to talk me out of that, or you think the first three or four seeds here are going to have a good time here 6 weeks from now once we get to the tourney?
It's tough. I think I had a lot more hope for everyone outside of Michigan and Arizona in November. Now we're sitting here, it's February 1st, and I'm like, it's probably Arizona or Michigan. And those prices right now are not worth taking, in my opinion. I would wait until right before the tournament or know their path. If it's a good path, take one of them. But right now, I have no urge to bet anybody. I did bet Nebraska the other day at 30-1 because what they did the other day was just absolutely impressive against Michigan, even without their guys. And even though Michigan played sloppy as all hell, I still think 30-1 is worth taking. I also have a future on the Zags at 20-1. One of the most experienced teams in all of basketball, one of the oldest teams in basketball. I crave experience. It's important in college basketball. But again, do they need to join a power conference? Probably, because they're a mid-major that no one considers a mid-major, and it always comes to bite them in the ass come the tournament.
Any sleeper team? I know we're a good 6 weeks out, but any team you feel like they might not even get in, but if they get in, they can make a run, or just the team you think is undervalued?
I've been very adamant about Arkansas, and I'm not a Cal guy. I just think it's very impressive seeing what he's doing with such young guys. And I usually don't gravitate towards young teams because inexperience is going to bite him in the rear end come the tournament, come March. But I think there's like 25-1. They did lose to Kentucky yesterday. That is concerning. But they're a very, very good team. I mean, they went toe-to-toe with Michigan State in their first week and only lost by 3. They're a good team. I think they're very underrated.
Yeah, they are talented. That was a tough loss, and that is every reason that Saturday game against Kentucky. That is every reason why you don't trust Calipari, because I thought Kentucky would go in there, kind of some point guard issues, just played terribly against Vandy. Felt like Arkansas, if nothing else, was a good money line piece to use in a parlay, and that was just that was Kentucky from start to finish. So if you had to pick right now, you'd pick Arizona as a national champion or not necessarily?
I wouldn't. It's tough because I really like that they're – addition by subtraction with losing Caleb Love. I think they're a trustworthy team, but still Arizona. So you kind of get nervous. And Michigan, what they did against Nebraska, I think is extremely concerning. I know they came back and probably were looking ahead to Friday against Michigan State, but they looked as sloppy as the Texans-Patriots game. That's what I keep going back to. They were sloppy. It was like any time you thought they were going to get momentum to potentially cover because I had them on the spread, they would chuck the ball into the stands. Like, oh, Michigan, with the steal and the pass, and it's in the stands. It was sloppy as hell.
Monday games here. Kansas off the big win against Texas Tech, off the big loss or the upset loss to UCF. Boy, it's hard to figure out Kansas because Peterson, the freshman, is so good, but sometimes he plays, sometimes he doesn't, sometimes he plays half the game, and like Saturday, he sits out the second half of the game. Is this a bounce-back spot for Texas? Do you like anything in this game or anything in general on Monday?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Texas Tech money line is probably going to be on my card. I am the guy that pays the juice. $1.40 is not too much for me. Coming off the loss to UCF, UCF Storm, so we'll be taking Houston on Wednesday. Fade the Storm is a system play that I live and die by. I mean, they just came off beating Houston. I know it's basically it was a week before. Is that a letdown spot? I mean, you wait around a bunch of days. I feel like you're due for it. But UCF, I mean, I don't know what to think of them, but I definitely think it's going to be a get-right spot, bounce-back spot for Texas Tech because they're tough to beat at home. And Kansas beating BYU, that was a big win for them.
How about Syracuse at North Carolina? This game interest you at all?
No, Syracuse is such a weird team. What are they coming off? They're coming off beating Notre Dame. Death taxes Notre Dame unders. They're such a terrible team. I would probably stay away, but I would definitely monitor the number. I'll monitor the number, but nothing really grabbed me on Monday outside of Texas Tech.
How many bets a day do you usually have college basketball? Are you one of these guys that'll bet the card, 3 or 4? Like what's a typical Saturday for you when there's a million games on?
So I've been kind of cold and I try to be as responsible as possible. I mean, yesterday was just a 2-unit play on Cincinnati team total under because Houston back at home after allowing 70 points plus back-to-back games, I felt like they were due to put the clamps on. But I get nervous when I get too excited because, I mean, you put 5-6 bets down, you're like, I don't know. You have your track record hasn't been too great this over the last couple of weeks. So is today the day you come back? I would say on a regular basis, three per day, pretty much 3.
Have you started to look at baseball? We talked about it a little beginning, both looking forward to baseball season. I started to look at some division stuff. I thought, even though you and I are both Yankee fans, I thought Baltimore at 5-1 is a good sleeper just because I could see them bouncing back. I like their lineup. You add Alonso. Anything you're eyeing, anything? Have you started your baseball prep here?
I have, and I've locked in 4 plays all on one person. I am overselling myself on Vinny Pascatino this year, all because of the renovations in Kauffman. So the two that I'm going to rattle off first, they're kind of like humor, like they're just a joke bet. But Vinny to win MVP at 250-1, I put just a hair on that. And then him to have the most home runs at 150-1. There's the hair on that. But I am very adamant about 35-plus home runs at 750, 40 home runs at plus 4,000. His home run over-under is 25.5 on Lucky Rebel. I mean, I'm waiting for other books to have it. But 25 and a half is extremely low for a guy who's coming off a 32 home run season in his first full season. 2 years ago, he had that thumb issue, missed a couple of games, only had, I think, 19-ish home runs. I think this guy can hit 40. He's a moose. He's 280 pounds, 6'4". The fence is now in 10 feet. It's a short porch. I think he's going to feast. It's now a hitter's ballpark. Somebody on that Royals team should hit 40 home runs, and I think it's the big Italian Stallion.
How many games the Yankees win?
Oh, dude, I don't even want to think about that team. It drives me absolutely insane how they act like they're a poverty franchise, and they're like, hey, let's just put out the same product as last year. It did us good enough. They're turning into them and the Cubs, they're the same. It's like the product's fine. People are still going to show up. I hate that about Chicago. I don't want it to happen with the Yankees, and it's not good enough. You're wasting the glory years of Aaron Judge. Get it together. You need much more than what you have on that roster, especially offensive-wise. I wish they went after Stephen Kwan. I wish they went after and got... trying to think of who else I wanted on that team. I'm fine with the Bellinger contract. That didn't bother me. But you can't be okay with after that. You can't be like, all right, we got Belly. Let's wait for spring training to start. No! You need more.
Yeah, on one hand, they couldn't afford to lose him. But on the other hand, bringing him back was just kind of par for the course. Okay, like, where are the improvements? And they're going to try to sell you, well, you know what? Post-deadline, we got Rosario and we got McMahon. So it's not the same team as last year. We're a more complete team, which just, man, every time Boone or Cashman say anything, it drives you crazy. Both of them just, it's...
They need to go.
It's been beyond time for a change, but I don't know when we're going to get it.
Boone, the Mike Tomlin of baseball coaches.
Yeah, it's a good one. That's a good one. And it's not even like, and I think Hal likes this. It's not even Boone and Cashman's fault, even though I would change him out. I think Hal likes the idea these guys take the bullets because these guys are killing Cashman. They're killing Boone. They're not coming after me when he's the problem. I think Boone, you know what? You don't need a great manager. If you spent and you got in years past, if they got Corey Seager or Harper or Machado or Freddie Freeman, these guys, when George was alive, they would have gotten a couple of these guys. You probably win a championship. You might win more than one championship. And who cares? Boone can manage the team. You and me can manage the team. I think Hal likes the idea that somebody else is taking the bullets for him.
Yeah, and I just know when somebody big gets injured, you know the excuse at the end of the year is going to be, well, you know, we didn't have all our guys. Cole got hurt early on. It kind of ruined the vibes. Shut up. Yep. Shut up. You had an MVP on your team. You had Superman. Come on.
100%. Colby, you're the best, man. Where can we find your stuff?
Yeah, you can find everything for free over at Betting News. Everything for free on my Twitter /X. It's always going to be Twitter at Colby M. Betts. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I can't wait to get into it with baseball with you in a couple months. It's going to be a blast. I miss it.
All right, that'll do it. Rate, review, subscribe. Thank you to Colby Marchio. We will be back on Wednesday. We will focus in on the Super Bowl, continue to keep an eye on all of these different markets. I think done a nice job of just doing some of it, not beating it to death. Talking about it a little bit every podcast, but not just focusing on it as we start to do a little more in terms of the variety here going forward with college basketball, NBA, baseball. It's that time of the year where you start to turn the page a little bit. But like I said, this time next week, we will have a champion crowned in the NFL. But thank you for listening. We'll be back on Wednesday. See you then.